Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. What a Friday it is. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, we are, as tends to be the case on Fridays, we are booked with guests.
Yeah, we are.
Paul Carr on soccer, Tim Murray, Chris Felica, Tim Murray on college hoops, of course, Bob Stoll, Dr. Bob on college hoops, talking Final Four tomorrow, Felica on multiple sports, Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. We'll have Michael Montesano in here to talk college hoops with us. So you and I have a lot of housekeeping to do. There's no time for small talk.
Hey, just take a step back from that ledge, my friend, okay?
First of all, let's get the real important thing out of the way. Did you have Ashke Bhatia at the top of your golf leaderboard?
No, I didn't. Oh, of course, okay. He was one of the guys I just left off my card, too. Yeah,
3-shot lead for Ashke Bhatia. Just want to point that out.
Akshay.
All right. What's that? I'm sorry?
Akshay.
That's how much I was aware of him. Okay. Women's Final Four tonight. What are you doing on a Friday night, Kelly? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm staying home and I'm watching women's college hoops. Yes, I am.
There you go.
And I'm excited about it. South Carolina, 11.5-point favorites. A UConn men's-like spread. South Carolina, 11.5-point favorites against NC State. Remember, NC State and UConn have the chance of being both in the men's and women's college hoops finals. Dawn Staley, trying to win her third national championship. Here's South Carolina's records here over this year, 2 years and 3 years. 36-0, 72-1, 107-3 straight up. Is that good?
That's pretty good.
11.5-point favorites. And then, of course, the nightcap, the one that everybody's waiting for. Caitlin Clark in Iowa, 2.5-point favorites against Paige Beckers in UConn. I have nothing pre-flop, but I will be watching. We'll see. Maybe there's an end game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did with the Iowa LSU game. I'm with you. I won't have anything pre-flop. I will be watching, though, I imagine. And I'm looking forward to another good game, man.
I imagine. What else are you going to do?
I don't know. It's Friday night. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe build a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Exactly.
We'll see. And then the big one, the Final Four tomorrow, of course. Two of the five biggest spreads in the history of the national semifinals. And if you put them together, as Crack talked about yesterday of all people, right? Crack was on this. Mm-hmm. When you combine them, the largest combined spread of any two semifinals we've ever had in any one given year. UConn, the Goliath. 11.5-point favorites against the NC State Wolfpack. That's the first one tomorrow as UConn just tries to continue destroying teams, not only on the scoreboard, but from a betting standpoint against the spread as well. The Cinderella story, that is the... by the way, I got that messed up. UConn playing Alabama. Hold on, I messed this up. UConn playing Alabama. Okay, playing the Crimson Tide of Alabama, 11.5-point favorites. All that applies to UConn.
I didn't hear what you said.
Maybe I said it right. I thought I said the Wolfpack for whatever reason. But they're playing the Crimson Tide, 11.5-point favorites. I've got the future on Alabama. I have no intention, but I have no expectation that this will win. It's funny, even when folks were like, you're going to hedge. And I pointed out, I was like, there's no way to hedge unless they got out to a lead. And the point is, even if it's an early lead, there won't be hedge opportunities. And then if it's a lead later, this is the part we always leave out of this hypothetical discussion. If Alabama goes up, I don't know, let's just play with me here. And let's say they go up 9 and it's early second half. Will your brain be able to toggle at that point to, oh, sure, I should really hedge out of this future right now? Or are you like, I'm up 9. Well, what's the point? I'm riding it.
I mean, it is the ultimate example.
Yes.
I think you always do one of the best jobs of explaining when or why to hedge, right? And it's what's changed with your handicap or your
right.
bet. Well, and that's the perfect situation of being like, well, I'm up 9.
Yes, we tend to leave that part out of the discussion where you said your brain won't be where your brain is now.
Right, yeah.
So
I think you're in a tough spot to hedge. I mean, I think you're riding with it.
I think you're riding with it.
And this game, from a betting standpoint, I don't really know how you bet this one just because the variance we talk about with Alabama, like, it's scary enough that I'm not running to lay 11.5 with UConn yet. It wouldn't surprise me at all if UConn just rolls by them.
I lean dog. I don't, just full disclosure, I don't have a pre-flop bet in either of these yet. but I lean dog in both of these. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I get it. UConn is a Goliath. Forget my future for a second. UConn is a Goliath. But if I'm just landing on this game right now, 11.5 points, still 11.5 points. And I know they've crushed everybody since. Remember, though, that Northwestern game in this tournament. They did kind of take the foot off the gas. Northwestern almost had a backdoor cover there for a second. So even if the Crimson Tide are competitive with the barrage of threes, which is clearly their strategy in this ballgame, just flood the zone, shoot 50 threes. And I mean that. I'm not just making up a number.
Yeah, yeah.
They've shot over 40 in some of these games already. Shoot 50 threes and see how many you make. That's one way to keep this obviously within the number, if not win it. And the other way is the back door could be open kind of thing. Mm. So I would lean Crimson Tide plus the points. I would also lean with the Wolfpack plus the points against the Purdue Boilermakers. And everybody's talking, and justifiably so, about, you know, the foul conundrum that officials have with Zach Edey. What do you do with this? I have said all week that I think it's going, if anything, it's going to be the opposite, that the officials are aware of what's being said out there. Boilermakers are 9-point favorites. If anything, they're going to bend over backwards to not have a foul disparity between the Boilermakers and their opponents, in this case, the Wolfpack. It was 33-13 free throw attempts in the last game for Purdue. I would lean Wolfpack here plus the points as well. Haven't made the bets yet, but that's how I would go. Yeah, underdog
this,
and underdog.
This is the one all week that you and I have been a little oppo on, although it doesn't sound like either one of us is that strong, because neither one of us has run to the window here to bet it yet. I'm still waiting to see where this moves. I'm going to be on Purdue at some point, though. I'm waiting to see if this maybe ticks under 9, perhaps. I can get 8.5. I think that big man battle is the key. I'm interested to see how the whistles go. Man, I think it's, if we talked mid-90s NBA, right? Like, Zach Edey is built for that. It's still one of the most effective ways to score. And have
DJ Byrne is Zach Randolph.
Yeah, and have efficient offense in basketball is to go to a big man. I feel like DJ Burns is just going to have his hands full trying to guard Edey, and you're going to rack up fouls. I could see this getting really ugly for NC State.
But you're right. If we came here Monday and we found out that both favorites blew them both off the court, is that going to be the most surprising thing in the world to me? It will not be. We actually have bets and some other things, though. One, two tennis bets. Let me get those out of the way. Coming, by the way, 1-2 yesterday in tennis. We hit the favorite, Tatiana Maria, in a match that was just delayed by weather and then by a power outage. It took all day to complete, but got it done. Lost one of the dogs outright on Haley Baptiste in two sets. And then Francesca Jones, our plus 238 or whatever the number was on the dog that we had her at, she was up 7-6, 4-2, and gacked it. So it turned a big winning day into a unit of a loss day. Still up 25 units on the tennis season. Here are the two plays today. Luciano Darderi, -108 against Marcus Giron. These are all on clay, by the way. I think you can get a better price on Darderi than I got last night. So Luciano Darderi against Marcus Giron. Darderi is the play. And then fading Ben Shelton with Brandon Nakashima in a battle of Americans. Brandon Nakashima at plus 103, which I think is right around that price. The Nakashima-Shelton, Nakashima's at plus 105, so it's right around there. That one's in Houston. And the Giron-Darderi is also in Houston. So both of these are stateside in Houston. Of all the there's like 5 clay court tournaments going on right now. So both of these are in Houston, Darderi and Nakashima. You have an NBA play. Last night in the NBA, it was a big day for play-in / playoff positioning, if you will. First of all, Warriors crushed the Rockets, so we can pretty much, even though mathematically it's not done, we can still pretty much Katie bar the door on any discussion of the Warriors getting knocked out by the Rockets.
Yeah.
That seems to be a done
Four
deal
games now.
Yeah, the issue is, of course, now in the Western Conference, you have in the 5-10 teams, the Mavericks through the Warriors. Here are your losses: 30, 31, 31, 32, 33, 34. So right now, who gets in the top 6? Right now, Dallas and Phoenix on the inside looking out. New Orleans, Sacramento, Lakers, Warriors on the outside looking in. But that's the order. By the way, Clippers, big win, held on to beat the Nuggets. So the Nuggets one game behind in the loss column of the T-Wolves, as are the Thunder for the number one seed. Clippers get a little distance between them at 4 and Dallas at 5. And then in the Eastern Conference, the game of consequence, Philly beats the Heat. So the Heat now are on the outside. They're in the seventh spot in the East. Same amount of losses, though, in the loss column as the six-seeded Pacers right now. And the Sixers one game behind in the loss column. You made a Sixers bet, sir.
I did, yeah. I did. I know we were talking about it all week and just kind of going back and forth. The timing was important to me, but I was watching a lot of that Sixers Heat game last night, and we're just kind of by halfway through it, seeing Embiid play well. I mean, he was gassed, but seeing him play well and looking comfortable out there, I made the decision probably about a quarter halfway through that game. I was like, this looks like it's going to be a Sixers win. I'm jumping in on Sixers futures before they continue to get too short. And now where you pick up a win over Miami, at least put yourself into a position to play yourself out of that play-in tournament. That at least is enough for me, Gil, to get in on the Sixers 11-1 to win the East, 30-1 to win it all. We talked yesterday. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, who's left to face the Celtics, who can make a run through the Eastern Conference. I do think the Sixers are a team that when we saw them at full strength earlier this year, you could easily have said they were the second best team in the Eastern Conference with prime Joel Embiid. So I'm buying in. We'll see where that ticket goes. It's obviously going to get a lot shorter if they avoid that play-in tournament.
Yeah, Knicks beat the Kings last night, which had implications for both teams because the Knicks, you talk about a log jam in the West. 3, 4, and 5 in the East all have 31 losses. Talking Cleveland, Orlando, and New York. Remember, in that case, you're jockeying for home court, yeah, theoretically in the second round. Bucks still have a 2-game advantage in the loss column for the number 2 seed there. A little more than a week left in the NBA regular season. Remember, 7 plays 8, the winner is in the playoffs. 9 plays 10, the winner will play the loser of 7-8. The winner of that game will determine the 8th position of the playoffs. So the play-in, NBA struck gold with the play-in, that's for sure. We'll come back. The bevy of guests beginning with College Hoops.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, we can't hear you, Kelly.
College Hoops Challenge going on. Bill Haiti talks all about it.
We caught the last part of that.
All right.
Remember, Bill Haiti's night becomes your morning. Get expert analysis, the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit Visa.com/newsletter to subscribe. We good?
I like that we all do the, like, I'm just going to talk louder even though your mic's off. Like, that doesn't right. work. It doesn't
in
help.
In your splitting bets voice, screaming about the newsletter. Real quick also, because we said we have so many guests and we had to get all the housekeeping out. We didn't get nearly through all the housekeeping. NIT yesterday, by the way. Congratulations to anybody who had Seton Hall futures, like Chris Felica, who's one of our guests later today. He had futures on the Pirates to win the NIT. And my deepest, most heartfelt condolences if you had Indiana State, which I know our buddy Will Hill did, among others. Goodness gracious. Sycamores went up in this game 77-70 on an 8-0 run late in this game. So there was under 3 minutes left in the game. Sycamores are up 7 after the 8-0 run. You're like, wow, Indiana State is taking this. Good for them. Robbie Avila, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Blurd, pick your nickname. He, in subsequently, after that 7-0, after that 8-0 run, Seton Hall goes on a 9-0 run to close it out. And part of that, Avila took this really bad three, I thought, with too much time left on the shot clock at around the minute mark. And then, by the way, Indiana State had a couple shots at it at the end to change the fate of the entire tournament, and they couldn't put the ball in. And so Seton Hall, in the most dramatic of fashions, wins the NIT. So brutal. If you had Indiana State futures, that's one of those moments in sports betting where you just feel bad for people because you're like, you went this entire tournament. It looked like it was in your hands.
How did Avila only have 10 shots, man? Come on.
He's making some great passes, you know, but that he did. I thought he took an ill-advised shot early in a shot clock with about a minute left. We'll get to some more stuff. Let's talk some soccer, though. Paul Carr joins us from the center of the country. Really, I'm talking center. Like, if you take one vertical line and then one horizontal line, it's like directly right in the middle. Topeka, Kansas. It's Paul Carr, everybody, host of the Expected Value podcast and, of course, works at True Media Networks. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I believe Lebanon, Kansas is the geographic center of the contiguous 48 states. It's probably two, three hours west of Topeka or so.
Oh, okay. So I'm wrong. Lebanon, Kansas.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
All right. I gave it a shot.
What was that word? Contiguous?
Contiguous states, yeah, as opposed to Hawaii and Alaska, which would not be contiguous.
Well, okay, sure, yeah.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody, that FSU education kicking in.
English major, too.
How are you?
Yeah.
It's great. Woo. All right. Well, Paul, we're off to a rough start already. All right.
There we go.
Before we get into your plays, by the way, you're on a bit of a heater, aren't you, right now?
Yeah, I went 3-0 on the Premier League this week on the heels of a plus 280 over the weekend. Only needed, you know, two stoppage time goals to get the Chelsea win yesterday. So, yeah,
sure.
No sweat, nice and easy. We're rolling right now.
Easy peasy. And no real change to the title race right now in the Premier League?
Not really. Everybody held serve this week. Liverpool, City, Arsenal all winning. So Liverpool still got a 2-point lead on Arsenal, 3-point lead on City. I still kind of lean City, plus given the prices at plus 200 over Liverpool's about plus 110, plus 120. But, yeah, nothing I'm rushing out to play on any of those.
Yeah, Liverpool, 8 games left now. Liverpool was 70. Arsenal was 68. Man City was 67. What do you make of the battle for fourth in the Champions League spot? Aston Villa, 59, and Tottenham, 57. Although Aston Villa has one fewer games remaining.
I don't hate an Aston Villa play here. I think they are fairly clearly the better team over the course of the season. You can get, I'm pulling up out there, Tottenham's like a minus 145 favorite, so I don't mind Aston Villa at plus 120 or so if you haven't played them already, which I have. Villa does have a slightly tougher schedule, which is why, and obviously Tottenham has the game in hand, but I think Villa's just a little bit better than Tottenham is, so I would lean toward Villa in that, but it should be a fun race down the stretch regardless.
All right, let's see if the streak can continue. We got a couple plays tomorrow, beginning with a total. It's been a long time since you've had a total. Two appearances.
Yeah, I got hot without the total, so maybe this is a mistake going back to it. But I'm going to take the over 3.5 in Fulham Newcastle at plus 130. This has just pretty much everything you need for an over. You've got, I mean, Newcastle, their games this season have the most goals, period, well over 3 per game, and most expected goals. So that's not a fluky sort of thing. Fulham games have been wide open, especially lately. They've had 9 straight games with at least 3 goals. 4 of those have had 4-plus goals, all with, again, the underlying numbers to match. Fulham's defense, not so good. Newcastle, very patient, takes good shots. And both have hot strikers. You know, Fulham has Rodrigo Muniz, who scored in eight goals in his last 9 games. Newcastle's Alexander Isak scored in 4 straight. So just think this one's going to be open. Neither team has a ton to play for. Newcastle's on the fringes of the European race. And Fulham is pretty safe from relegation, but I think this is just going to be a wide open game with lots of goals.
All right. And then Everton and Burnley, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, fairly straightforward here. It's a good price, I think, on an Everton win, even at the minus 145 number I played. It would go down about minus 150. We've talked about Everton a lot. They're 16th in the table, 7 points clear of 19th place Burnley. But Everton's goal difference is minus 11. And Burnley's is minus 34, which is more indicative of what all the numbers look like, the difference in these two clubs. Burnley's been attacking more lately because they're desperate to stay up, and I think that plays into Everton's hands. They're still been pretty solid defensively. They like to counterattack. The lineup's getting more settled and healthy. So here's the caveat. Everton hasn't won in 13 games, but that just means they're due, right? So Everton win, minus 145.
All right. Both of those are tomorrow. Sunday, I guess game of the week, Liverpool and Man U.
Yeah, for sure. Liverpool, Man United, one of the highlights of any Premier League season, really. And so Manchester United, they blew a 3-2 lead in stoppage time to Chelsea yesterday. And they were both fortunate in the sense, or they were unfortunate in the sense they lost the game when they were ahead in stoppage time. But they were kind of fortunate to even be up 3-2. They finished all 3 of their decent chances or half-decent chances in that game. And that's kind of what United's season has been like. They've been running hot pretty much all year. Liverpool's cruising. I mean, they're in first place. They've won 10 out of 12 since Christmas. Their only losses, or the only times they dropped points, rather, were to City and Arsenal. And they scored at least twice in all those games. So they're not just like sneaking through 1-0 type of games. They're scoring the goals. Liverpool midfield's looking great. That's a weakness of Manchester United. So I just like play Liverpool win, minus 145. It's at Manchester United, but Liverpool's won 2 out of 3 there. Not a big deal. That game's on Sunday.
All right, let's review them. Fulham, Newcastle, over 3.5 goals tomorrow. That's 3.5 plus money, though, for Paul. Shop around for these numbers. Also tomorrow, Everton, outright win over Burnley, minus 145 is the number that Paul quoted. And then Sunday, Liverpool outright against Man U, also about a minus 145 favorite in that. Paul, with apologies to the folks of Lebanon, Kansas, we still love Topeka. Still love Topeka.
All good.
Thank you.
Yeah, and tell Felica, I'm taking Liverpool so he can stop yelling at me about that.
It really is amazing. Have you noticed that he angry texted you last time?
Yeah. Anytime I pick against Liverpool, I get angry texts from Felica.
Paul does a spot.
We're cutting it off.
Felica objects to something, and then he angry texts the both of us about the whole thing. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, the Expected Value Podcast is the name of his podcast. He is the host of that. In the housekeeping theme, because there's lots that we still got to get to interwoven around these guests, made my first NFL draft bet, Kelly, of the season. Of course, the NFL draft, not till later this month. Have you made any draft bets, by the way?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I haven't made any recently, though. I kind of made some on the openers, but you get to yours first, and I can...
I went to Palace Station after the show yesterday. Stations, by the way, shout out to Stations. Chuck Esposito, still the man at Stations,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah.
Shout out to Chuck Esposito and everybody who does their stuff at Stations. They've got over 20 draft props up already. So, again, those of you not in the state of Nevada, lucky you if you've got a wider menu available to you. We don't here, quite frankly, in this state. But 22-plus props over at Stations. I bet, and this is just by perusing everybody's mock drafts, and there is a very common theme to the Jaguars' first pick, and that is to pick a cornerback. A cornerback. They need big help in the secondary. And so whether you looked at... Jeremiah's last one or Kuiper's last one. I can't remember who else I looked at. Everybody really loves the Jaguars picking a cornerback to address that need. And so at Stations, plus it was even money, plus 100 yesterday. And so I grabbed that as my first NFL draft bet, and they immediately moved it to minus 130, which I think is still a good bet.
I like
that.
It. Yeah, I like it. No, you're right. They've done a great job. I think it was Stations and then Caesars were the first in town, I think, with draft props. I don't know who was first, but they were both pretty close together. I don't even know how many other books really have many up. So, like you said, great job posting as many as they've done. I bet a couple there. So far, I have a lot of these run openers, but Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals minus 170. Malik Nabers, the number 5 pick, plus 225. And then quarterback. I've got quarterbacks over, quarterbacks under. Just picking off prices there.
What did you...
Wish I would have hammered that.
What did
over
you
4.5
do,
and even money.
What did you do first, the over or the under at 4.5?
Over first.
What made you go back on it?
That's just because they just opened and it was you were getting plus money.
Over's like -300 now or something like that. Should be probably higher. The college basketball cavalcade begins with Tim Murray next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits.
Split bets!
VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Why don't you? Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Free 2 week access. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter baseball bets today and beyond baseball bets, as Kelly pointed out yesterday. You don't have to limit it to baseball.
That's right. Yeah. You can get more than just baseball there.
It's like, sportism is what that was.
Woke up the D on that one. I got at least 3 angry looks on that yell.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Sigma Derby people don't like you very much, do they? Yeah, look at them. Angry mob. We get tweets of beating the book. Jeremy Larson. Always appreciate the feedback, by the way, everybody. Best listeners in the game. Jeremy Larson. Thanks for more winners on ANG with Gilly Kelly, Paul Carr. Paul Carr trying to keep the streak alive. Oh, AB Power Moves. This is interesting. He said he just noticed Caesars has Silver Slugger markets. Would love your thoughts on it. AB Power Moves. I'll take a look at it this weekend. I have not seen that, but Silver Slugger, by the way, best offensive player at each position in baseball. For those who do not know, Nevada Azer. Hey Gil, do you know Oh, this is a great question. I was talking about this last night with somebody. Do you know if the NBA is going to announce its award winners shortly after the season ends, as it did last year? I haven't seen any dates regarding this. I hope they don't make everyone wait until the summer. So this is a great question. So the NFL has a night, right, where they designate right before the Super Bowl, this is our awards night, we're giving them all out. Baseball, we like to joke, and not, we're not even joking, it's damn near Thanksgiving, but by the time they give away their last one. They wait for the World Series to end, remember it's regular season awards, they wait for the whole postseason to end, and then they meet them out one by one, and they telegraph the pass on the award show by like having the guy's mother who's going to win it give out the award. The NBA is the most nebulous. You can't find it anywhere. And remember last year, like during the playoffs, randomly, we'd be watching TNT, and Ernie Johnson would be like, by the way, in case you missed it earlier today, Rookie of the Year from our Atlanta studios, right? He would do that whole thing. And you're like, wait, what? They gave out Rookie of the Year? So there is no date that we can find yet. So I'm not sure if the NBA is going to do that again this year, where they just randomly during the playoffs let you know, oh, by the way, we gave out Defensive Player of the Year today.
Well, I think they typically always do it near the beginning of the playoffs, but you're right. Yeah. There's never like a set night, set date. And last year it was a couple, one by one over a few days.
Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, co-host along with Jonathan Von Tobel, weeknights, 6 p.m. right here at the network, joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Timmy, do you have any NBA futures this year or NBA awards props?
I don't. I know it's a very hot topic here on the network regarding Defensive Player of the Year. So I'm eating my popcorn and listening to people get mad about it, which is always fun. But I just have you been working on that Ernie impersonation? That's pretty good. That was a good Ernie.
That's a staple of this show.
Right?
In fact, whenever
a solid Ernie. Well done.
It comes up when former Cleveland running back, and I don't know who he played for again this year, when D'Ernest Johnson does something, then I always bring it up like that. Friend is always from our Atlanta studios, I was throwing. All right, Tim, I don't know if you know this. We got a Final Four tonight. We got a Final Four tomorrow. By the way, are you watching the women's tonight?
Heck, oh, absolutely.
Heck yeah.
UConn, Iowa is definitely appointment watching for me. That's not a knock on South Carolina and NC State. I don't think it's going to be ultra competitive. Hopefully I'm wrong, but it's been fun to watch. You know, I'm trying to think back. It was a couple weeks ago. The second round games had wrapped up in the men's side, and there was a late night game, Stanford and Iowa State, second round game in the women's bracket. And I turned it on, and the shot making was just incredible. And, obviously, yeah. 12 million people watched on Monday night the performance that we saw from Caitlin Clark. And, not to be shortchanged, I actually thought the game that followed USC-UConn was just as entertaining. So, no doubt. I'm definitely going to be watching tonight. Don't have any skin in the game. I did go against the grain on Monday night. I took some South Carolina, so I'm gonna sit back and lick my wounds. But we'll see. We'll see what the market does here, because you think back, Gil, to the player prop market for Caitlin Clark, and she just destroyed everything. So if you want to go against the grade and go under 33.5 points, Godspeed, because she is capable of doing what she did on Monday, which was just going absolutely nuclear.
You didn't have Indiana State future in the NIT, did you, by any chance?
I had Indiana State last night. That was fun. So that was up 77-70 with
brutal,
with 2 minutes to go. And, not playing the game at that level, but understanding the game and just not understanding the possessions, when you're up and pulling threes with 20 seconds left on the shot clock, it just made no sense. And then their final play out of the timeout with 8 seconds to go, where I thought, all right, maybe they're going to get to the bucket here and force overtime. And then, they pulled a three with like 4 seconds. It got blocked. They put it again. I'm like, what are we doing? So, congratulations to Shaheen Holloway and Seton Hall.
But
That was a tough one. That was a tough one to swallow. But, I guess betting against Shaheen Holloway in March is March/April is not a profitable endeavor. If you remember back to to the St. Peter's days.
Yeah, well put. I mentioned the Avila shot with the shot clock having way too much time left on it with a minute left. Yeah, I get it. You're wide open, but the seconds matter more at that point. All right, let's do this. National semifinals. Let's do them one by one, chronological order. First, the appetizer, Purdue, 9-point favorites over the Wolfpack, total 146.5. What are you doing with it?
I'm laying it. I laid 8.5, which is still available at a shop here in town. You know, I think you can be patient because NC State, Gill, is the team that people want to win and cover. You know, I think this is a team. You mentioned the betting splits that we have over at VSiN.com. Early betting splits show that there's going to be public dog action. And I get it, right? This team is 9-0. Over the last 9 games has been the improbable run. DJ Burns has been phenomenal. But, you know, I look at a couple things here that leads me to liking Purdue. And the first and foremost is, and maybe it just continues, but you look at what opponents have shot, Gil, from 3 against NC State. It's ridiculous in a bad way. I mean, they are 28 of 117 from 3 in the NCAA tournament. So I think there's a bit of good fortune on NC State side in that regard. The Sweet 16 game against Marquette, a pretty good 3-point shooting team, had good looks, went 4 of 31 from 3. And then Purdue, you know, I think this is getting overlooked a lot because Zach Edey had the epic performance that he had against Tennessee, where he had 40 and 16. Gil, Purdue is the number one, or was the number one, 3-point shooting team in the country based off of percentage. Mm-hmm. And they went 3 of 15 and still beat Tennessee and covered, by the way. So I think you're going to get a more a positive regression from Braden Smith, Lance Jones, Fletcher Lawyer, that backcourt. And then lastly, I just think this is a really tricky matchup for DJ Burns against Zach Edey. DJ Burns going for 29 against Kyle Filipowski in the Elite Eight. Ultimately, I think it's going to be a bigger challenge for him going up against Zach Edey, the frame that Edey is. And Edey, I think, for the most part, Gil, you know, I don't think he gets enough credit for the athleticism that he shows, the endurance that he has for a big guy like that running the floor as well as he does. So I think it's going to be a really tough go of it for DJ Burns. So I'm on Purdue. I laid the 8.5. And then secondly, I haven't gotten there yet, Gil, but you know, DJ Burns player prop is sitting at 14.5. It's now juiced to the under, so we've seen a little bit of a shift of the juice. I think he's really going to struggle to score on a regular basis. And he's a really good passer, too. So I do think DJ Burns can maybe facilitate more in this game as opposed to, you know, kind of be the offensive force that he had to be against Duke.
All right. You know where I'm going. 11.5-point spread with UConn over the Crimson Tide, total at 160.5.
Look, I got in front of the freight train in the Elite Eight. I stood on the train tracks. I said, bring it on. You aren't 9 points better than Illinois, the Big Ten tournament champions. There's no way that Brad Underwood is just going to say, hey, guys, let's just drive the baseline and go at Donovan Clingan time after time after time again. But they did. And I sat there in horror as I watched Illinois be tied at 23 and then be down 53-23. So I have not gotten back in front of the freight train that is UConn, who has covered every single NCAA tournament game over the last 2 years by 14 points per game. I think there are unique ways if you want to try to poke the dragon, go at the dragon, maybe a first half play on Alabama, hope that they're red hot from 3, maybe a 1st-10 or 1st-15. But Gil, this UConn team, I want to see them play Purdue. I think that'll be a good matchup with the struggles that Alabama has defensively as a, you know, 105th best defense per KenPom. I don't know how Alabama can keep it up for 40 minutes. So maybe a first half play, but I'm not doing it again. I got ran over over the weekend, and I don't want to do it again. It was too much pain watching a 30-0 run.
Yes, no answer. UConn's beating Purdue then in the title game, per your predictions?
I'm going to take the points with Purdue. How about that? We'll talk about it on Monday.
We'll talk about it then. Tim Murray, everybody, co-host of VSiN Primetime. Thank you, Tim.
See you guys.
Played a little college hoops himself. Jason Weingarten, next.
A
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. Let me repeat that. Turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college hoops bet. Download the app. Use promo code VSiN when you sign up. VSIN, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Steve in Vegas. Had Batia, first round leader, 65-1. I think he needs to be on weekly. Dude is a first round leader sniper. Good on you, Steve in Vegas.
Sia. He's talking about Sia Najad had him.
Oh, Sia had him.
Yeah.
I
think Steve tailed along.
Yeah. I thought he was telling Sia that he had it and just tagging us. All right. Well, congrats. Sia, by the way, Sia's ridiculous with first round leaders.
Yes, he is.
It's ridiculous. Jamie Leva, correcting Gil on a golfer's name. We have come full circle, folks. Have a great weekend, gentlemen. And Bill Hooker pointed it out, too. If you had Gil to not mispronounce any name, you lost before any tennis discussion. Bad beat. For those wondering, I pronounced Akshay Bhatia, Ashkay Bhatia. So, my bad. It happens. It happens.
Hey, happens to the best of us.
To the best of us. We'll get to more tweets. I just want to point out an earthquake. A lot of my East Coast friends are texting left and right. I know it's all over the place. There was an earthquake on the East Coast, and it's being felt in New York City, Philadelphia, Connecticut, all New Jersey, all up the sort of northeast corridor of the country. There is a 4.7 magnitude. Now, for those of us with San Francisco or California sensibilities, who have been through many earthquakes and worse, right? This never sort of moves the needle for us. But here's the thing with earthquakes. Earthquakes don't kill people. Buildings keep people, kill people in earthquakes. So I hope everybody's okay. Don't mean to make light of it at all, because, you know,
just scary.
Anything
and weird
can happen
when you see it in that part of the country.
If you're not used to it, like the first time it happens, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was an earthquake. So, and there's all kinds of different ones. There's rolling ones that feel like it's rolling, like a truck's rolling down. And then there's some where it feels like, I remember being at the top of a building and one, and it feels like a superpower, you know, grabs the building and shakes it once real quick. And you're like, oh, my God. So it's, I hope everybody's okay on the East Coast that felt that. And good on all of you to get on social and check on everybody else.
Real quick follow-up on the NBA award stuff we were talking. It looks like that first, if it follows what it did last year, for all the awards that are not MVP will be announced during the first round of the playoffs, throughout the first round.
Throughout the
different
first
nights.
But that's the thing, throughout the first round. Do we know which night?
No, they have nothing official.
They are so much more vague than baseball and football.
So they do them on the TNT broadcast,
right?
Like before the games, like you were talking about, because you turn it on and you're like, has been announced
studios
earlier. Yeah. And then MVP, if it's done like it was last year, is in the second round.
Okay.
It was when they'll announce.
All right. So that narrows it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Jason Weingarten's a Californian. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali at Spreadopedia on Twitter. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. One of my friends actually looked up the stuff, the NBA stuff yesterday. He said he expects the sixth man around April 20th was when they did it last year. So, I mean, I guess you could look up when they announced it last year and kind of get an idea.
So early, first round, sixth man might be first. But again, it's a little more nebulous than the other sports. And you can't find it.
Yeah, very confusing.
All right. Jason, by the way, you're an earthquake guy, right? Like you, how many earthquakes do you think you've lived through in your life?
I mean, the only one of consequence was the Northridge earthquake.
Northridge.
The last big one in LA.
If you were of a certain age, there was the 89 Bay Area series earthquake, the Loma Prieta earthquake, which of course happened during the Oakland A's San Francisco Giants World Series of 1989, where the Bay Bridge actually collapsed one level onto the next, and there were fires in the marina, and it was awful. But the people in Southern California in 93, when the Northridge earthquake occurred, said that one was even worse. Some people who were at both, obviously, again, it's structures that harm during earthquakes primarily. And so just California. Those were the worst we ever had in California way back when.
I was a wee lad, but I was in L.A. During that time growing up.
Yeah. I remember my brother. Everything fell off his walls in L.A. All right, Jason. What do you like in baseball today? Have you played anything yet?
Just starting to. Honestly, I have not been super excited about going crazy, you know, betting a ton of stuff early. I don't think I have ton of edges the first week of the season. You know, I kind of think you're just throwing darts early. I do have my eye on the Marlins though. At this point, I think it's becoming an interesting situation.
Yes,
it's
is.
It's rare that you see, and I'm really disappointed that I'm a year late on this, but it's really disappointing that you see teams really like, oh, they're going to have to throw in the towel after seven games. This was what I was talking about last year, and I was just a year too early there. It's going to end up costing me quite a bit of money.
Marlins are 0-8. The A's.
0-8, yeah.
0-8, yeah. The A's, who now are moving to Sacramento for 3 years in a 10 to 14,000 capacity ballpark, they are, along with the Rockies, considered pretty much the de facto worst teams. Rockies are 1-6. The A's are 1-6. You don't view the Marlins quite as poor as those two franchises, do you?
I mean, the Marlins at least have more of a legitimate excuse in the sense that their entire starting rotation is just out, you know, and you have a Cy Young winner and Yuri Perez and you have guys like that and they're not contributing. It's just sort of, well, what do you expect? You know, like, so at least they have a little bit of an excuse. Teams like the Rockies and the A's, like, they're just fundamentally broken. Like, they're not capable of building winning teams. You know, they're just there because they have to be at this point.
What are you betting on this weekend, Jason?
I like the Orioles today.
Oh, you do like the Orioles? Okay.
It's not so much of a, oh, I love the Orioles, or this, you know, this number is this reason for this. It's more of a fade on the rookie pitcher for the Pirates, Jones, who I think is good. He had a really great first start. But this is a lot of helium for facing a Baltimore lineup. I don't know. Did you see what the Norfolk AAA Baltimore team did this week, by the way, Gil? They scored 26 runs last night.
We were talking about this. Greatest AAA team of all time, maybe?
I don't know about greatest AAA team of all time. It's a very good roster. I was actually watching that game. I was betting on it. At least I don't really watch the AAA games. But the Baltimore, it's just they're doing things. It's fun to watch. There's a lot of talent still to come. You know, stuck at AAA right now for various reasons.
Do you anticipate the Orioles trying to capitalize on that talent if this is a year where it looks like they can fight for the entire thing, the World Series title?
A lot of those guys will be up in a month or two. Part of it's just they don't have at-bats for some of these guys. Some of these guys are stuck at AAA just simply because
there's no room
at somewhere.
Yeah.
There's no room at the moment. But yeah, I'm right now, I'm mostly interested, like, circling the really bad teams, the White Sox, the A's. Not necessarily looking to lay, you know, minus 200 against the A's every day, but I really am looking early at circling the bottom four or five teams. And I'm very content to continue to bet against them because I just don't think they're going to get any better. I'm talking about the Marlins, the A's.
Yeah.
You know, like, what have you seen that makes you think these teams are all of a sudden going to
not a
turn
thing.
A corner? Nothing, right? So until the market adjusts, I'll probably keep fading some of these bad teams and see what, you know, what gives.
Are you moneyline parlaying against them? Is that what you're doing?
I have not thought about that, but that's definitely something I would consider. I don't know if that's necessarily an effective long-term strategy, but you know, I do enjoy doing some baseball parlays every now and then.
I do dabble in a little parlay. Well, because people were asking about tanking NBA teams, like if that's the thing to do, and I'd let's put it this way. If you made me do one or the other, I would do the baseball version of it. I really would. Because I think these teams are so bad. And I know it's early, but good God. I'm doing this thing, which we're going to update here with Felica momentarily. I'm doing this March, April most wins bet on the Guardians. And it really does come down to, so much of it is, how many times are you playing the A's? How many times are you playing the White Sox? Right. It's like, that's the key, like, calculus of the whole thing. So, you know, it's a, by the way, I love that bet because it makes it, it forces you to lock into baseball every single day, not only watching your team, but also trying to fade the teams that you're competing against. Jason, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. If you're an NBA voter, you have to vote for Naz Reid. I don't make the rules, but that's the way it works.
Jason does not make the rules. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia, has himself a little wager that he wanted to stump for right there. Chris Valica joins us, the Bear from Fox Sports. A multitude of sports next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.